Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at St. Mark's. Today we get to look at a very amazing command. Whoa, there we go. Amazing command that our Savior gives to us. If you look at the front of your bulletin, that's the command. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. But sometimes we can get a little empty in that. So you are here this morning to fill yourselves up. You're going to talk about and realize and remember God's love, and that's how we fill up on love. And we're going to fill up on love in the Lord's Supper today as well. That's where God gives us His grace. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. Since this is a meal that expresses our unity, if you are not one with us and you'd like to know how you can commune with us in the future, please speak with myself or Pastor Colander. We'd love to talk to you about how we can make that happen. The best way to start as we think about fulfilling this command is to remember Christ's love. And that's what we'll do with hymn 749 in the Blue Songbooks. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and He's given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now that we have God's mercy through Christ, we ask for His continued mercy. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. God, you form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may ever yearn for the lasting joys of heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson as we look at Jesus' command to love one another comes from 1 Samuel chapter 20. This is a great example of love where we see Saul, of course, is pursuing David and wants to kill him. Jonathan, Saul's son, shows his love for David here. It's a good example, especially because of what is the source of Jonathan's love. He makes it known. Then Jonathan said to David, "I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed toward you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, May the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. The word of the Lord. Second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we see how Paul explains what a gift love is from God. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only as a reflection in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. We now remind ourselves of that threefold truth that drives our love with verses 1, 3, and 5 of number 406. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson comes from John chapter 13, where we receive that great command of the Lord Jesus. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The word of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. We'll sing all the verses. Please note the choir will sing verse 3.
Thank you.
God's love is yours, thanks to Jesus and through faith in Him from the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon text will be the second lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you'd like to follow along. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare you. Amen. I think if you were an alien living in outer space, and you were looking down on the earth and you were analyzing human beings, there'd be one concept that you'd come across over and over and over again, and you'd think, boy, this is a big concept on this planet. That concept is love. You see love so much everywhere. You see love in books. How many books are about love? How many stories do we have in the movies where there's always got to be a love story? Right? Songs on the radio all about love. Saying those three big words, right? I love you, huge for any relationship. Love, 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 love. Love everywhere. You can see why it's such a big deal to Jesus, why he would command such a thing. And you can understand why this chapter that Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is one of the most popular chapters, most well known in the whole Bible. But what is so great about love? Why is it so important? Paul explains that pretty well here. And basically what Paul explains is that love is lovely. Or is there another way that we could put that? 1 Corinthians 13, when you think of it and hear it, what do you think of? Are you transported to a wedding? How often do you hear 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings? And that's for good reason. A lot of great things in there for husbands and wives. In fact, I was watching a TV show last night that was joking about how common 1 Corinthians 13 is for weddings. But actually, Paul writes this whole thing in kind of a section about spiritual gifts and how to use our spiritual gifts for our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Okay, great, you can speak in all these languages, you can speak in even the tongues of angels, you can have all of this spiritual knowledge and know all of the mysteries, you can give 50% of your income to church and fill up your weekends with volunteer opportunities left and right, but if love isn't the motivating factor, then it's empty, it's nothing. However, if love is the motivating factor, now that changes things, doesn't it? Suddenly there's something there. It has meaning. Love is central to all of our good deeds. It's what makes our deeds good deeds in God's eyes. Without love, it isn't a good deed. Love is lovely because it gives true meaning to what we do. But if we're going to talk about how lovely love is, then we want to make sure to also define love. And that's what Paul does next in verses 4 through 7. When you look at these verses, we could spend 10 minutes on each description. But when you look at them, you really see overall three big components to love. First, love isn't what the world would probably define love as this mushy feeling. No, love involves action. That love stirs inside of you and causes you to spring into action. Love also has an object. There's something that's receiving your love. And because of that, number three, the object of your love is being improved in well-being. You're raising it up in a sense. You see that as you go through this list of what Paul says. Love is patient and kind. These are things, these are descriptors that have an action behind them. Love helps you be long-suffering with someone. Love causes you to show kindness, to spring open, to open up a door for someone, or to provide for them in need. Love involves action. And that action always helps their well-being, like the next ones especially show. You know, sometimes if we're jealous of somebody, we're envious, we're looking at them as higher than us. So that might cause us to do one of two things. It might cause us to be proud or boast, so we try to raise ourselves above them. Or we might dishonor them. We might bring them down to our level. Love doesn't do those things. Love prevents us from doing that because it wants the well-being to be with the object of our love. That's why, as Paul summarizes, love is not self-seeking. It's not looking to raise itself up. It's looking to raise others up. The object of the love, then, is outward, not inward. But sometimes when we try to love things, other things can get in the way too. Like when they've sinned against us, when someone wrongs us, hurts our feelings. You ever have that moment when you know you're like, I know I should love, but man, they did this to me. I don't really want to. Well, love gets rid of that. Paul says, love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love prevents you from being overtaken by emotion. And it especially helps you forgive. If there's anything in between you that you have the right to be angry, it gets rid of it, wipes it away. That way there's nothing in the way of you improving their well-being. It also helps us help them improve their well-being. Like Paul says next, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love doesn't blur the lines of what's right and what's wrong. It helps us help people understand the truth of what's right and wrong so that they can stay on a good spiritual path with God. Because if we don't, then that sin could push them even further away, decrease their well-being. Okay, you get it. Love is an action that is benefit to an object that improves its well-being. Paul summarizes it like this. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Anything you throw at love, it's going to make sure to endure it. It's going to bear it, no matter how short or how long it is, no matter how small or how big it is. It'll bear it for that person's sake. It'll believe and trust that you can improve their well-being. It'll believe and trust everything God says in His Word, everything you can hope for and that person can hope for. Boy, when you look at this definition of love, you see that love is lovely. I don't know about you, but when I read a definition of love like this, there's also that part of me that's thinking in the back of my mind, yeah, that's true, but I don't exactly do all of those things. How often do I become impatient with my spouse and snap instead of enduring something, no matter how big or great or how small? I think of all the times where I was not a good example for my kids. I think of all of the times when I was jealous of somebody and it caused me to want to tear them down, whether in here or with my words, or to puff myself up so I felt better about myself. How often do I let a grudge get in the way of me loving somebody, even if they don't deserve it in my mind? How often do I prevent myself from forgiving them? How often do I turn a blind eye to what my brother or sister is caught in? Yeah, when I read a definition like this about love, it actually kind of hurts. That is, until you realize the underlying truth behind a definition like this. You and I cannot love perfectly like this. The object of our love is often ourselves instead of outward. We cannot put our name in there like this. Brock is always patient. Brock is always kind. He never envies or boasts. We can't do that. So how do we know that this perfect love exists? Because there is one that this perfectly describes. He sets this standard. It defines him. In fact, he's the one that defines it. Talk about springing into action. Our God sprung into action out of his love for us, and he sent one who indeed describes this perfectly. Or it describes him perfectly. You can put his name in there. Now, as I do, I want you to think about all the ways that Jesus has fulfilled this and continues to fulfill this. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. Jesus does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. All things he bears. All things he trusts. All things he hopes. All things he endures. Not one of those statements is untrue. It all perfectly describes him. When you read a description like this, guess what you're reading? You're reading a description of Jesus and his love. His love indeed sprang into action when he came down to this earth for you and me. And guess who the object of his love was? You and me. And just as love does, love incarnate raised us up, improved our well-being to a place where you couldn't even get any higher in God's estimation. When God looks at you, guess what he sees? He sees this perfect definition, thanks to Jesus. In God's eyes, you can indeed read this as, insert your name here, Brock is patient, Brock is kind, and so on and so on. We are not objects that deserve such love, and we know it. Yet God gives that to us anyway. That's his grace. That's his love for us. So really, when you think that love is lovely, you could actually say that God is lovely. Or love is godly. Or Jesus is lovely, or love is Jesusly. Jesus is Jesusly. Ah, whatever. Tomato, tomato. Love is lovely because God is love. And love is even more lovely, and it doesn't end there. And that's a pun that you'll understand in a second. Because Paul's point next is that all of those spiritual gifts that we might prize, that people in Corinth prized prophecies and speaking in tongues and all the spiritual knowledge, Paul says all of that pales in comparison to love because love never fails. Literally, he says, love never falls, as in it never falls off or ends. It continues and goes on and on. It remains and keeps on remaining, just as God is eternal. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Three big things that you hear all the time Paul talk about: faith, hope, and love. These things will remain and keep on remaining all the way through eternity. But the greatest of these is love. Love is so lovely that it is even the greatest gift that God could give us. But Paul doesn't explain why. Why is love the greatest? Because when we love, we're most like our Heavenly Father. There isn't a quality of God that you and I get to participate in like love. Think of it like this. There's a dad who owns a Ferrari F50. And his kid sits in the driver's seat and he puts his hands on the steering wheel. And he imagines himself being his dad. Like, wow, look at this. This is what my dad gets to experience when he drives this car. This is awesome. You and I, when we love, it's like we're sitting in God's driver's seat. This is what it means to love something with pure joy. This is what it means to love with purity and all grace. This is awesome. It's because God is love. And now he commands you and I to love. So in those moments when we have that moment where, all right, I can be patient with my spouse or not, we can remember, love is lovely. And we remember how much that Jesus did for us so we can be long-suffering for someone else. Or when we think, oh, I'm jealous of that person, I want to tear them down or puff myself up, I can remember, love is lovely. So I can improve their well-being, even if it means I go even lower. Just like Jesus did for me. I can forgive as I've been forgiven. I can guide my kids with a good example as Christ has given me. I can do anything I can to improve the well-being and get rid of everything that gets in the way, just like God did for me. All because God is love. And all because God has put that love in my heart. This love now also defines me. So you don't have to be an alien in outer space, looking down on the earth, analyzing humans to see that love is a big deal. You can simply open up your Bible and read all about him. God is lovely. Love is godly. Love is Jesusly. Jesus is lovely. Love is lovely. Amen. Please stand. May God continue to guard your hearts and motivate you with his love. Amen. Now join together in confessing our faith in God's love according to the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Now join together in the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer. All-powerful and all-loving God, we thank you for comforting those who are sick and suffering, including Betty Martin and Jeremy Fox. If it is your will, fully heal them and take away their pain. If it is not your will, strengthen their faith so that they may see your loving hand even in the midst of their discomfort. Giver of all good things, we thank you for blessing all married people, especially those celebrating anniversaries. Give them a strong faith in you and a rich love for each other. Maker and preserver, we thank you for blessing all of those who are celebrating birthdays as well. As they remember their birth into this world, remind them also of their rebirth through water and the Spirit. God of grace, thank you for giving us the joy of loving others as you have loved us. Strengthen us in our love with the knowledge of your love shown and given through Jesus. In everything we do, help us reflect your grace to those around us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms and placed all things under his feet for the benefit of the church. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 490. Good morning. It's a pleasure celebrating Christ's love with you this morning. A big welcome to all of our visitors. If you have any questions about anything in our church, let us know. There's also a welcome center over there where you can find a number of things, everything on there you can take that's yours for free. Please stick around for Bible studies to learn more about God's love for you, as well as Sunday school for the kids. Bible studies in here are continuing to cover the glory of Jesus, and in the chapel, it's the book of Joshua. We'll talk about the fall of Jericho today. Quarterly potluck is coming up after the second service, so come back for some good food and fellowship after that second service. Also, just to let you know, our new teacher who's going to be here for next school year, Darren Vogt and his wife Ruth, they're going to be here in June. So right now, we're going to start with a gift card shower, as we have for all of our called workers. I believe there's a jar in the lobby for that. They're also registered. Ruth is due in July, I believe. They're registered at Target and at on Amazon, if you're interested in giving that way too. Prime timers, next Sunday, there's an event, kind of a gathering at the old Spaghetti Factory. I hear that's really good. Haven't been there. But there's a sign-up in the back lobby. Make sure to sign up for that so they can plan accordingly. Prime Timers, Old Spaghetti Factory. In June, we're going to be starting our next Bible information class. So we took a little bit of a break in winter. So if you know of anybody that's interested in learning more about the basic truths or interested in becoming a member of St. Mark's, it's going to be Sunday mornings in between services at 9:30 in the chapel. It's going to be a new Bible information class that we haven't done yet, at least since I've been here. It's called New Life in Christ, and there's going to be binders and everything. Let us know if you're interested in that so we can make sure to have binders available for everyone. VBS registration, Vacation Bible School, is coming in July, but registration is live. Make sure you register soon, and also if you want to volunteer, register that way too. You can find all of that on the website. Another awesome camp this summer is Tree of Life. That's actually the week before VBS, Tree of Life Bible Camp. Check out a note in there about giving toward a scholarship for that. But also, if you're interested in registering, you can register on their website. I think it's treeoflife.org. I think that's right. Something along those lines. Google it, you'll find it. There's a lot of also listed for a while now. There's been some volunteer opportunities. Just to direct your attention once again to the bottom of the weekly news. If you feel like you can fulfill any of that for the church, God be praised. We'd appreciate that. Thank you. Other announcements you'll find in there in that weekly news. May God continue to bless you with his love. Please stick around to greet one another.